When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In a week where Ben Duckett made an amazing 153 stupid comments in press conferences, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
You know, sometimes I, you know, my small time back in the England side, when you see players from the opposition playing like that, almost feel like we should take some credit.
Yes. You are here with Kat Jones and Dan Lipke, and a very benevolent Ben Duckett, Ben for benevolent, giving other nations England's great attacking wisdom. He's sharing it with everybody. It's very, very generous of him.
Of course, yeah, yes. That's right.
So, yeah, last time we recorded, England were 1-0 up in the series against India. How are they going now?
They're not 1-0 up. One may be all that they win in the 5 or 6 or 7 matches they seem to be playing, but at least they got that first one on the board.
They did, yes. Since then, they've had a couple of big defeats and they've had a side trip to the UAE in between. But we're not here to talk about England, right?
No, we're going to talk about India.
Yes, yeah, of course. Everyone's talking about England.
Yeah.
It's very boring. So Duckett, in that clip we just heard, he was referring to Jaiswal there. And Jaiswal brought up his second double century in two tests. That was very impressive. And I particularly enjoyed in this one how he's cruising along very steadily, kind of got his eye in, all very sensible. And then he just decided, nah, I'm out of here. I'm going for it. And he just started thrashing them everywhere.
Yeah, incredible.
Scored a century and then injured his back with a celebration leap.
As all good top order batters do at some point in their career, right? And then he retired hurt for a period of time that was overnight, right?
Yeah. He had a rest overnight. They brought in the night watchman and he had a nap and then
he came back.
The back watchman. The back watchman then came back the next day and went again, scored another century, hit 3 sixes in a row off Jimmy Anderson, made his way to the double century. So very entertaining innings from Jaiswal.
Yeah, he's fabulous.
Yes, but he's not my favourite new India player.
No, really? Who's that?
My favourite is Sarfraz Khan, who I love. I've loved him from this is his debut. And he's amazing. Yeah. He currently averages 130 in Test cricket. Yep. So suck on that, Bradman.
He's only played one, right? He's played one. Yeah,
but still.
He'll play the rest of them now.
He'll play all of them and he'll average 130 over all of them. So Bradman, you're a clown. You've been surpassed.
For his next 10 years, 130 is on the cards.
Yep. Well, the only time he was out in this one was after Jadeja ran him out, calling him through for a single so that Jadeja could go from 99 to 100 and then say, oh, no, sorry, go back, Sarfraz. And Sarfraz like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Run out of his ground. And then
he was doing the right thing, trying to help his colleague get a century.
He was. And then poor old Jadeja got the century, I think, the next ball and did a very sad sword celebration. Yeah. It's like, I feel so sad with what I've done.
Yeah.
Yes. But I just love watching Sarfraz bat. It looks like he's got about 4 hours to decide what he's going to do with every delivery. He's got so much time. And then what he inevitably decides to do is, I'm going to smash that to the boundary.
Yep.
So he's awesome. I love him.
That's incredible. I mean, it is also incredible, of course, that Anderson is still playing.
Yes.
We're just glossing over that, but they are two amazing batters. And they were together, right? They were the pair that was still batting when India finally declared on the fourth day.
Yeah.
That third test.
Yeah, so Jaiswal was on 214 not out and Sarfraz was 68 not out. India were 4 for 430, which turned out to be a completely pointless second innings because England didn't end up surpassing their first innings score by the time they batted again.
Well, it's not pointless when our favourite new Indian cricketers get 214 and 68 not.
Exactly. And you'd think England might regret teaching those two how to bat so brilliantly, but apparently not. And we're very grateful for that.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we just have time to cover the one-off test between Australia and South Africa that was over in Perth.
Yes, yes. So Yeah, over at the Wacker as well, not the big fancy new stadium, back to the classic Wacker.
Yep.
So that was good. South Africa went into this test. They were 4 points down in the overall series, so they needed to win the test to level the multi-format series.
Because Australia won the two white ball legs.
Yes.
2-1
in each of them.
South Africa won.
Won a T20 and they won an ODI, their first wins in both those formats ever against Australia.
I mean, they're sneaking up, it feels.
Yeah. The gap is definitely closing slightly, although perhaps not in Test cricket as
well. No, maybe not. But anyway, the most exciting thing that happened at the start of the match was not the national anthem. It was Healy winning, was it her seventh toss in a row? She has won so many tosses on the trot.
She's got some kind of super thumb where she can just sense what the other player is going to call in the air and she just magically flicks it so it comes down the opposite of whatever they choose.
Have you worked out the probability?
Yeah, it's 1 in 128.
So it's actually not that improbable.
Less than 1% chance of it happening.
Amazing.
Yes. She did choose to bowl in 43 degree Perth heat, which I'm not sure her bowlers would have been overly ecstatic about.
No,
that's what she went for. And it turned out to be a good decision, right?
Well, they're not used to bowling more than 10 overs on the trot at any stage. So choosing to bowl in that heat is something in a test match for the women.
But they didn't have to bowl more than 10 overs.
No, they didn't. And I guess Healy must have known that.
Yeah.
And that's in the pep talk. She's like, you're lucky if you have to bowl 4 each. Like that's probably the way she raised them up. Because South Africa crashed to 8 for 55 at lunch. I mean, they bowled extraordinarily well.
Yeah. And they didn't catch well. Because I think pretty much every batter in that opening session got, you know, two chances to bat because they were dropped and then caught a few balls later.
They were 16 for 55.
Exactly. And they were 76 all out shortly after lunch. So,
it was very sad. But then also, I mean, the people who went along to watch this, who said, I want to see at least 12, 15 wickets today, had their wish because Australia lost 3 for 12. So that was pretty full on as well.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, South Africa were on target for a first innings lead. I mean, if you extrapolate 3 for 12, Australia are only going to make 40. So a massive lead for South Africa on the first innings.
That's right. But then Healy came out and decided that she would score double figures.
And
they were high double figures.
The highest possible double figures you can get, yes. Because she made it all the way to 99 before she was caught and bowled. Just like the over before stumps, I think.
Yeah.
A ball. And this also came like a ball after they checked the boundary rope. She was on 97. She hit it towards the boundary. A fielder came around and dove and kind of scrambled it back in. And they checked, was that a 2 or was the leg over the boundary? Was it a 4? And the 4 would have taken it to the century. But instead, it was just 2, which left her on 99.
She was destined to never make it, correct?
Definitely, yeah, definitely. Because as people almost immediately started pointing out, her husband, Mr. Mitchell Starc, has also got a high score of 99. And they both scored 99 in their 9th test.
Oh, no, that is incredible.
Yes, and it is their joint highest test score.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Mm. What a wonderful romantic thing to do.
It was, and it was the day after Valentine's Day as well. So, yes. So there are now 12 test cricketers with the highest test score of 99, and 2 of them are married.
Yep.
2 of them married to one another. I mean, there are probably more that are married.
That are married,
Yes.
They didn't get married because of the 99?
Well, maybe. Who knows? Who knows?
What's the chances that she'd get 7 tosses in a row and score 99.
Oh, incredibly slim.
Yep.
Incredibly slim. Anyway, with 12 test cricketers having scored 99, 2 of them already married, let's get the other 10, split them up into 5 couples, force them to marry.
This happens.
A reality TV show, married at one short, I'm going to call it.
Let's get it going.
Have to dig up a few of them are dead, but nevertheless.
No, that's fine.
Then what happened after Healy was out?
Well, then Annabelle Sutherland came. Annabelle Sutherland happened batting and bowling.
Yep.
She happened like a whirlwind. So she basically decided she would score a century. And she knew, you know, she knew she could get there. And that 3 for 12 seemed like they picked the wrong 3 to start batting.
Yeah.
Because she was incredible.
She was. And she's got a habit now because every time a senior Australian batter is out for 99, she just kind of rolls her eyes at the olds and says, oh, this is how you score a century, you silly old people.
It was Perry last time, right?
It was Perry last time. It was Healy this time. Yeah. She just goes, oh, well, just score a century. And then she not went only. On to score another century.
Yeah, just like Jaiswal.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
You never know. Anyway, no. she didn't do a celebration that resulted in her being retired hurt, though.
No, sadly. But she went on to make 210. I think there was a lot of declaration speculation as she approached that mark, and everybody thought, they'll declare now that she's got 200. But no, he was just like, I don't care, I'm just going to keep batting.
No.
And they only declared once she was actually out for 210, which was three short of Australia's highest ever test score, which is something Elise Perry will hold over her forever. Presumably.
Yeah.
Well, until Annabel Sutherland bats the next time, perhaps.
I mean, there really would be no reason to prevent Sutherland from just getting her possible highest score. They had plenty of time.
Yep.
So I think that would have been a bit of a dick move if they had declared early just because some terrible pundit on Twitter suggested it.
Yes.
There were a lot of people suggesting it, though.
Yeah. Everyone was like sick of Australia scoring runs. Yeah. They thought, got a zillion.
Anyway, and then South Africa collapsed again, of course. I can't remember what they made. But
They didn't make many. They did. Mm. They collapsed early and then they kind of smartened up a little bit later on and dragged it into a third day, but pretty deep into the third day actually. But then Alyssa Healy, eventually she's got so many bowlers it takes her a while to get around, but she eventually got around Annabel Sutherland and she thought, all right, I'll finish off this test.
So
that was the test. Who was the player of the match?
Player of the match. Well, it could have been anyone, really.
Could have been anyone.
It should have been Alyssa
impossible
Healy.
To tell.
Yeah, impossible yeah. to tell. No,
we will never know.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, this episode is sponsored by my 2023-24 wasted review of cricket.
And have you got another one of them already?
Well, it's about to come out. It will be out as soon as the India-England Test Series ends. Uh-huh. That will be the last one in the book. So I do these pretty much every 6 months or so now. I take all my report cards from various matches and wrap them up in a book that you could buy either in ebook form or printed form. So this one will cover everything starting from the Australia-West Indies Women's Series, which you may have already forgotten about. That was like October-ish last year. Mm. But it'll also cover 21 matches of the Men's World Cup, the Australia-Pakistan Men's Test Series, India v Australia Women's Series, Australia-West Indies Men's Series, and of course, as I mentioned, the India-England Men's Series. So that'll be about 250 pages. Of my recaps of a summer of cricket.
It's a good summary of the full year or half year, actually, of the summer. But with all those World Cup matches, it's quite a thick book this time.
It will be thickish, yes. So, you don't have to wait to get the book. It will be out, as I said, after this test series ends, India-England. But you can go to my newsletter, newsletter.leavecricket.com, and you can get the report cards as they come out. No need to wait. Mm. And if you are a paid subscriber for a few bucks a month, you will get the Wasted Review for free, and you can also get all the previous ones for free as well. So magical stuff, so something to look forward to. And even if you don't want to be a paid subscriber just yet, sign up to the newsletter, newsletter.leavecricket.com, and that will keep you completely updated.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Let's play. Are you smarter than a fifth grade cricketer?
So it's time for the quiz, and we're going to do a quiz this time about Australia and New Zealand, Dan, because we are just about to fly off to New Zealand. And why are we doing that?
We are flying off to New Zealand because Australia are finally going back to New Zealand for a test series. I think they've been over there a couple of times for T20s or ODIs, and they are playing a few T20s this time as well. But more importantly, they're playing a test series.
Yes, two matches, one in Christchurch, one in Wellington.
Yes.
And it's the first time Australia has played a test over there since 2016.
I mean, it is a long way to go, right?
Yeah, a long way to go.
Very difficult,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just going to take you back to that year, so reminding you what happened in that year. But it was the year – well, it was the start of the year that they played. But during the year of 2016, that was Brexit. That was the era of Brexit. Britain voted to leave the EU.
Yep.
There was an election in the US a bit later in the year. And
I'm sure that went splendidly.
Yes, Trump beat Hillary Clinton and Russia interfered in that election. That was not until November, of course, much later in the year. But that was the year, 2016, was the year that we lost a lot of famous pop culture icons who all died that year.
Was that Bowie?
Bowie died in January. He started the trend.
Yep.
Prince was on the 21st of April. Later on, I'm not even naming them all, George Michael, Gene Wilder, Muhammad Ali, Carrie Fisher, Harambe the Gorilla. So lots of very good people died that year. So it was a bad year.
And gorillas.
I mean, combine Brexit, gorillas, Trump. Like, what a terrible year that was.
Terrible year.
Anyway.
But there was Test cricket against New Zealand.
Yeah, look, there were some other good things. I think Pokemon Go came in.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And the all-female Ghostbusters movie.
Mm.
Anyway, there was a Test series.
Yes.
And that was in February at the very start of the year. So I'm going to ask you some questions about this test series that happened, and we'll see how many you get. I'm not even quite sure how many questions I've got here, but I'll start with some warm-ups. The first one, there was an ODI series to warm them up.
Okay.
Who won the ODI series, Australia or New Zealand?
Well, Australia would have been the defending World Cup champions at that point because they won in 2015. That was a year earlier.
Yep.
So let's say New Zealand caught them by surprise and beat them.
Excellent, correct. Hey. New Zealand won the ODI series. What was the score there? They played three matches.
Three matches, oh, thanks for that. Well, let's say it was 2-1.
2-1, correct.
Hey.
2 out of 2.
I have no idea.
Who won the test series? They played two matches.
Two matches in the test series. New Zealand can't beat Australia in tests, or they haven't historically been able to. So I'm going to say Australia won the test series.
Australia did. 3 out of 3. Doing well so far. And that line score there out of the two tests?
I don't think they would have put a draw in New Zealand. I'm going to say 2-0.
2-0, correct. 4 out of 4.
Wow.
Okay, it's going to get harder now. They were the warm-up questions.
Okay.
4 out of 4 so far. What I want you to do now, there was a 14-person squad from Australia touring New Zealand. I want you to see if you can name the squad.
Oh, God.
8 years ago.
It seems very unlikely. All right, let's see how I go. Let's go with the ones who are... The big guns. We'll go Steve Smith and Dave Warner. They were probably captain and vice captain at that point.
Smith was definitely captain. I don't know who vice captain was. Correct. Warner and Smith, correct.
Stark would have been there. Lyon would have been there. Sorry, I'm all over the shop. Let me just
give you a tick for Lyon and a cross for Stark.
Oh, no Stark. Okay.
Bloody no hell. Stark.
Well, I think this is before Cummins made his comeback, so I'm going to say Hazelwood.
Hazelwood is correct.
All right. So what other batters were around then? God, I struggle to remember any of the batters that long ago. Let's say it was somebody like Smarsh. Sean Marsh must have been there.
Smarsh was in there. Smarsh was definitely in there.
Was Usman there?
Usman was there.
You're
doing well so far.
Who else? So that would have that's basically your top four probably. Was Watto still playing? Let's say Watto was there.
No, Watto
was out in 2015. That's right.
Was he?
Mitch Marsh.
Right.
Let's say the other Marsh, Mitch Marsh.
Correct. Mitch Marsh was in the squad.
Who's the keeper? Matty Wade was the keeper.
Let me join Che Hamin. You've got it. Was not Matty Wade.
Was Haddon still playing? Let's say Haddon then.
Not Haddon.
Oh God. Was it Peter Neville being too nice?
It was Peter Neville.
Peter Neville being too nice.
Peter Neville, correct. By the way, the ones you got wrong are going to come off your score.
Okay.
So you can stop at any time.
Oh, okay.
Because at the moment you have, let me tell you who you have. You have four misses. Stark, Watto, Wade and Haddon were your misses. Your hits were Warner, Smarsh, Khawaja, Smith, Neville, Mitch Marsh, Lyon and Hazelwood. So you're 8 correct and 4 incorrect.
And there's still how many left? 5 in the squad? 6 in the squad?
Your balance is 4 points at the moment. Now, we still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more in the squad.
And there'd be at least another 2 batters?
There are, yes, I'll give you some more clues. There are two more batters, two more top order batters.
Two more top batters. It's probably
in the top five.
Yeah. It's probably going to be somebody like a Joe Burns. Like, this is not my guess, but it'll be someone like a Joe Burns or one of those people who I've completely forgotten.
I can tell you that you've completely forgotten the two of the top three run scorers for the series.
Right, let's go to bowlers. Let's get that. Is Peter Siddle still playing?
Peter Siddle is there. Okay. Correct. Well done.
So if Nathan Lyon, we said Lyon was there, right?
Yeah,
because Stark
here.
Wasn't there. Yeah. Would they have taken a second spinner? If so, who would that second spinner have been? I'm not sure they'd take a second spinner. So let's go. Pattinson's probably injured. He was always injured. I'm not sure who the other fast bowler might have been. I know Johnson's retired by that stage, are you sure? All right,
stop
I need
time.
More clues.
Your balance of the score is 5 at the moment.
I need more clues.
Okay.
So I'm missing a top run scorer.
So let me give you some clues here.
Chris Rogers is gone by this stage, isn't he? Maybe Chris Rogers is still there.
Chris, I can tell you that you've actually mentioned two players who were in the squad guessing them.
All right, then I will go Joe Burns.
Joe Burns is correct.
Okay, and I guess I will go Pattinson then.
Pattinson is correct.
So how many have I got left?
Well, let me see how many you have. You have one bowler left and one batter left. Sorry, two bowlers left, but one of them didn't play much test cricket.
Okay, all right. Are they fast bowlers or seamers? May not be that fast.
Yeah, I'm wondering whether they're not fast bowlers, but they're not spinners.
Okay.
Not a spinner.
Okay.
But, you know, yeah.
What about a
swing bowler. A Jackson Bird is correct.
Hey, there we go. All right, so one bowler, one batter left.
There is another bowler left.
Okay.
That's what I was looking up. I wasn't worried about whether Jackson Bird was fast. Jackson Bird is fast. I was concerned about the other guy because I couldn't remember if he was medium or slow or whatever he was.
Okay. Well, he sounds too obscure for me to even possibly remember. Give me an initial, see if I can get it.
The initials are C is the first name, S is the second name.
God, C,
you'll never
S.
know this guy.
All right.
But you should know the other batter.
Is it Chad Sayers?
It is Chad Sayers.
Hey, there we go.
Well done. All right. Chad Sayers.
All right, one more.
One more batter. Okay. And this is a very famous batter with a very high average for this series.
Bloody Adam Voges.
Yes, it was Adam Voges.
Yes.
Well done. So I've got to say that you guessed the entirety of that squad with only a few guesses.
Yeah.
And so that's 14 people who were on that tour. You missed 4, so that's 10 points.
Excellent.
So you're now at 14 points altogether with the 4 questions you got correct. A couple more. Lyon batted as a night watch person at one point in the match. I can't remember which match it was. He batted at 6 in that particular match. I presume he was a night watcher. What did he make? What score did he make batting up the order?
21.
No, he made 33.
Oh, okay. That's very good.
33. Is this his highest score?
Oh, must be very close. I don't think he's ever made a half century. So I'm going to say, he's had a few tonks. I'm going to say he's beaten 33 since then.
He has beaten 33. 47 is his highest score. Correct. He hasn't made a half century. So you're getting lots of things correct. Top wicket taker for Australia.
Chad Sayers. No, not Chad Sayers.
Sayers did not play. Poor Chad
Sayers.
Will
go with, out of all those bowlers, I think big Josh Hazlewood is the top wicket taker.
No, it was Lyon.
Ah,
took 10 wickets at 22.6. Hazlewood took 9. Bird took 8.
Fair go.
Chad Sayers did not play.
Poor Chad Sayers.
And Sean Marsh did not play.
Poor Sean Marsh. Poor Smarsh.
Yep. And the top runs was Adam Voges.
Adam Voges.
Who else? Well, who were the other two out of
Smith,
the...
Smith, probably.
Smith, yeah. And
Warner,
who else?
Probably.
No, it was Joe Burns.
Ah, good work, Joe Burns.
So the underdogs, they scored well. But I think this proves you are definitely smarter than a fifth grade cricketer. Congratulations.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week. The funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is going to join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller reward.
All right, it's time for the Moeller Award, which rewards excellence and stupidity in cricket. And I will give the first nomination this time. This is from a Sheffield Shield match between Western Australia and New South Wales. We had Chris Green just blocking a ball that had been thrown back at the stumps by the bowler.
With his bat or
with
his
body? His bat.
Oh, fantastic.
And there was kind of this half an appeal from Western Australia saying he's out of his crease. He's stopping the ball from going on to potentially hit the stumps. And the umpires said, nah, don't appeal for that. Don't start this. Don't stoop to this.
Was that a soft signal?
I think so.
Or was it a hard signal?
No, it was pretty hard signal. Yeah. And so he wasn't given out. And after play, Western Australia asked for an explanation. But I do kind of like that the umpire's going, appeal for that one. Mm. Don't appeal for that one. Like, it'd save a lot of time if they just said, look, appeal for that. That's plum.
Yeah.
Have a shout. Otherwise, don't bother. We'll tell you when to appeal. It would save so much time.
It's like occasionally when the umpires go, now that was going down leg.
Yeah.
It's really good. Yeah. I also like that the umpires may get a fine at the end of the match for whatever that kind of behaviour was. Yeah,
so unsportsmanlike conduct.
Yes,
have indeed. To go see the fourth umpire, the match referee.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have one from the under-19s. Mm. They're at it again, man. They're at it again. The heroes of Zimbabwe dismissing an England batter, obstructing the field after he picked up the ball and gave it back to the wicketkeeper.
That's so good. The under-19, that every single under-19 World Cup, they just do not give a single fuck. They're just we're going to man-cage it.
I mean, how often do the batters pick up the ball and give it to the wicketkeeper?
All the time.
All the time. And it happens at least 100 times when you're watching the cricket. And then these under-19s going, never again.
Yeah.
And no one will ever forget that either. So forevermore,
yes.
No one from Zimbabwe ever picking up the ball.
Yep.
And maybe not England either.
Yeah, well, very good. And, of course, Australia did go on to win the under-19 World Cup. They beat India again, so that was a little bit funny.
So that is funny that that's happened a number of times.
All right. So my next nomination is also from quite an unusual dismissal. We've had Angelo Matthews, who you may recall from the World Cup, was timed out. This time he's out, hit wicket in the one-off test against Afghanistan. And this is where there was this was great footage. It was a wide, long hop, outside leg stump. Like, it would have been called a wide in a test match, probably. It was so wide.
Yeah.
And Matthews thought, I can smash that to the boundary for four, which he did. He swung around and pulled it really hard, raced away to the boundary. Great shot. Except for the fact in his follow-through, he managed to clip his leg bail with his bat. So he was out, hit wicket. So.
Oh.
Very good work from Angelo Matthews.
He's going for all the dismissals.
I think so.
Can I put a bet on that?
Probably. I think he's got pretty much all the, like, he's got all the really obscure ones now. He's got the timed out. He's got the hit wicket. If he can get the obstructing the field, if he can pick up a ball and give it back to Zimbabwe under 19s.
Well, they only have to play Zimbabwe for that to happen, sure.
Yep. So, great work from Angelo Matthews.
Amazing. So, the other one that we absolutely love this because Jake Fraser-McGurk, who plays for the Renegades, played his first ODIs and he was an absolute maniac, exactly as he is in the T20s.
Yeah, I love him so much.
The Big Bash. His first innings was his best. So he had a dot ball swing and a miss, big swing.
Yep.
Then another
All big swings.
They're all big swings. We don't have to even mention that, do we? Another dot. I mean, it was, he needed to score, but perhaps not quite this fast. Nah. Another dot. He tried to hit it square and he missed. And then a four, charging down the pitch, hit a four. And then, and that was just a straight hit. And then a six, an almighty pullover cow quarter, straight into the stands. And then next ball, out. Out, edge behind. So it was a glorious 10 from 5.
I hope we get an entire decade of this kind of stuff from Jake Fraser-McGurk. This is magnificent nonsense.
His hero is clearly Glenn Maxwell. Rightly so.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, we love Jake. One of our favourite cricketers.
And kind of wrapping up the mullet, just sticking with the white ball series against the West Indies where Fraser-McGurk made his debut. The Australians managed to miss a run out by another young favourite of ours, Spencer Johnson, because nobody bothered to appeal for the run out. So this was very funny. They ran out the batter, kind of walked back to the top of their mark. Then the replay came up showing that he was out of his ground. And
they tried to appeal at that point, but it was sort of too late.
Yeah, well, technically it wasn't too late against the rules, but the umpire decided, you can't do that. That's not on.
Yeah. And they said, as all good umpires do, same umpire we mentioned earlier in the mullet.
Yeah, the umpire said, don't appeal for that. Don't start this. Don't stoop to this. Yep. So, good work from the umpires.
Fantastic. Okay, so that is the end of the mullets. Who's going to win, Dan?
Oh, Jake Fraser-McGurk,
I
reckon.
Of course, yes. Yeah, first of many mullets, I'm sure.
He's a lock for the next decade of mullets, I think.
Every time he plays. Yep. So you've been listening to Dan Liebke at Lieb Cricket and Kat Jones at Cricket Back Kat. You can find us on all the various social media platforms. It feels like X is imploding.
Hopefully.
There's been a lot of appeals from people just recently for everyone to Exodus X.
Yes. And Blue Sky's open.
Come and join us on Blue Sky. Yes. We would love to be there. We repeat all of our tweets there.
Yes.
What do you call tweets on Blue Sky? Posts.
Tweets.
Whatever. Tweets. tweets.
Doesn't matter.
You can find us on any social media platform you like if you search for Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
Yes.
We may not be there, but go search for us anyway.
And of course, don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter, newsletter.leabcricket.com, so you can get my wasted review of cricket the instant it comes out. And we will speak to you all next week.
Social Podcast Network.